And the spirit of the day among the volunteers was, actually the spirit of the week, was just incredible. So a lot of good community was built as well. So for that, we're grateful. Also, next Sunday, if you had so much fun this past week, next Sunday, we're having a ministry fair. It's an opportunity for you to see what kinds of ministries are out there that here in our congregation, from worship to outreach to buildings and grounds. What might you plug into? What might you be called to by the Spirit? But they'll be there to share a little bit about those so you can find out more about them following worship next Sunday. So be sure and grab your cup of coffee in the fellowship hall and then follow the tables around. You'll come out at least better educated and perhaps called to do something you haven't done before. Am I supposed to talk about this? Okay, I'm supposed to talk about this. Spring retreat. Women, you all should have gotten one of these. The first thing I have to tell you is the dates on this particular flyer are incorrect. It should be the 5th and 6th, not the 4th and 5th. No big deal. I was just told, oh, they'll show up at the right time anyway. But the important thing to know is Wednesday is the deadline for registering. So we need to know how many are coming. So it's the actual registration forms are out in the narthex. If you forget or something, call June DeFore or Shirley Underwood. Their numbers are on the flyer, just at least to let them know you'll be coming so that we can get a good head count. And it's a great opportunity. Jamie Martinez is one of the up-and-coming young clergy in our presbytery, so I think it'll be a great day, or great 2 days. I think that's now I'm ready for you, ma'am. Minute for mission.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Laura Gonzalez, and I'm here to talk to you briefly about the Presbyterian Women's Birthday Offering. The Presbyterian Women's Birthday Offering was started in 1922 by Hallie Paxson Winsboro, and it has become an annual tradition. Since that time, the Birthday Offering has funded 100 major projects. The 2017 Birthday Offering will fund 3 projects: the Family Justice Center in South Carolina, First Hand Aid in the country of Cuba, and the Navajo Water Project right here in New Mexico. The Navajo Water Project at the Smith Lake Navajo Reservation will eventually provide water systems for 205 families that currently do not have access to running water. You will find envelopes in the narthex for this year's birthday offering. They can be put in the collection plates, turned into the church office, or brought in person to the Presbyterian Women's Retreat on May 6th if you are going. We will dedicate them at that time. Thank you for considering donating to these worthy projects here and abroad. I also want to remind you that next Sunday is the 5th Sunday of the month, and we will be collecting a 2 cents a meal offering, which will be going to Storehouse West this time. So please bring your 2 cents a meal next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Laura. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each of you.
And also with you.
Greet one another with a sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. We gather to worship God, the Lord and giver of life.
God, giver of water, new life.
In the deserts of our lives, in the wilderness within,
God, giver of water, life.
To give us hope when our lives run dry, to give us strength when our world seems barren.
God, give us waters of life.
To let peace flow like a river and love spring forth like a fountain.
God, give us the water of new life.
To make justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a living stream.
God, give us the waters of new life.
To give us and our world a second chance and a new beginning.
God, give us the waters of new life.
Come, people of God, open your lives to receive God's new life. Open your hearts to sing God's praise.
God, give us the waters of new life.
Our first hymn is All Things Bright and Beautiful, number 20, In Glory to God. The same God who moved over creation, bringing light and water and living creatures, and a word and pronouncing them good, also created us and calls us good. But we fail God when we do not care for the earth we have been given or appreciate the beauty and fragile nature of our earth. Let us confess together and in silence how we have not been good stewards. Gracious God, forgive our neglect of what you have entrusted to us as stewards.
We confess that we take your gift of water for granted and acknowledge the need for repentance and action. We are reminded of your power and love with every nourishing drink and cleansing bath. Empower us to speak for those without and work to ensure justice and peace for all. Those who trust in the mercy of the Lord are like trees planted by streams of water, where roots go deep and fruit comes forth. Our God is gracious and merciful. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May we now be a people of grace and forgiveness. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. From the very beginning, your word has revealed your goodness to us. It has also made your ways clear and shown us the path to life. Give us the ability to understand and the desire for faithfulness that your word will fall where it can grow and bear fruit. Amen. Our first scripture from the prophets is from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 16 through 21, found on page 659 of the Pew Bibles. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise.
Our psalm reading today is Psalm 1, the first of 150. The psalms were actually sung normally in the temple. So here, Psalm number 1, which could have been accompanied by strings or a lyre when it was shared in the temple. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore their wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thank you.
going to ask you to come up now. I wanted to ask you up early as part of, so you could hear the scripture reading up here, because I wanted to show you what the, where I'm reading it from. This is called the Etz Chaim, and that's Hebrew. And this has all the Hebrew readings in it. It's like a Jewish Bible, but it has not only the readings but some notes about it so that you could learn about it. And, but if you look at it, I don't know if you can see, but here's all the notes and here's the one verse. But over here, where do I start in a different place, don't I? Yeah. What would be the back for us. And see, it's in Hebrew here, if you can see, as well as in English. So this is a translation right from the Hebrew. So I'm going to read our reading from Genesis. It's the very first chapter. It's the very, very beginning. In fact, the word Genesis means beginning. So it may sound a little different because it is a direct translation from the Hebrew. But listen, and I want you to listen to every time you hear the word water. Okay? So listen for that word. When God began to create the heaven and the earth being unformed and void, with darkness over the surface of the deep, and a wind from God sweeping over the water, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, a first day. God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the water, that it may separate water from water." God made the expanse and separated the water which was below the expanse from the water which was above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. And God said, "Let the water below the sky be gathered into one area, that the dry land may appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of waters he called seas. And God saw that this was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, seed-bearing plants, fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, seed-bearing plants of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that this was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Yes, Savannah. Water. How many times, Allison?
I counted eight.
Counted eight. That's right. It counted eight. You counted eight too, Natalie? Good. Well, and it starts when we're still nothing, isn't it? God swept over water before there was anything else. So God, water was there at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. Water was there, and it's an important part of our lives. Do you know? Every Sunday, someone magically puts this glass of water next to my chair up there, and one next to Mrs. Miller's too, or whoever is helping me lead worship. I don't do anything to earn it, And I have to admit, now I kind of come to expect it. And if it's not there, I'm disappointed or I worry that I'm going to need it. But I don't do anything to deserve it. I don't do anything to earn it. And I just count on it being there. How many of you, when you turn on your faucet, just count that water will come out of it? Yeah. And that it's water that you can drink, right? Did you know there are over 600 million people that don't have that privilege? Yeah. For them, yeah. And half of those people have to walk at least 3 miles just to get this clean water, if they have it at all. But the good news is that there are people out there who are helping them, who are helping them have clean water and access to water. And the church is one of those main people who are doing that, because we believe God created water for everyone to have, and to have it, because we're made up of water, right? We got to have it, yes. That's right, exactly. That's exactly where I was going, Savannah. You have to have it in order to live, just like you got to have air, right, and food. And so we know how essential that is, and so how important it is for us to take care of it, because God gave it to us. It belongs to, not to any one person or any one country or any one part of the world. It belongs to everybody, because that's how God meant it to be. So next time you take a drink of water or turn on your water faucet, we ought to say thank you, huh? Because we are so privileged, and we ought to say a prayer too for those for whom that it's not that easy. Let's pray. We do give you thanks, God, for the gift of water, clean water. And we pray for those for whom that's just not possible right now. And may our church always be working so that everyone has clean water to drink, what they need to live. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you all very much. Thanks, Liz. Well, you've heard the reading from the very beginnings of our scripture, which tells us that from the beginnings of creation, when the Spirit of God moved across the face of the deep, water was there. And from that time, water has been essential to the formation and sustaining of life. For people of faith, water partnered with the sun to bring growth to the earth. And from the waters of the earth came creatures of land and earth. Scientifically speaking, the H2O of water has within it the oxygen that's needed for breath. Up to 60% of our bodies are water. And while God may have created us from the dust of the earth, it is the water that holds that dust together. This creation of God is also created for our larger good. Water is the stuff of miracles for us. God parts the waters of the Red Sea to bring people to freedom, changes bitter water to sweet water, and brings it forth from a rock for those wandering in the wilderness. Jesus changes water into wine and walks upon it for the disciples. And it was to be the stuff of hospitality, the cup of cold water, the washing of feet. It is for the cleansing of people in ritual washing. It is God's power as in the rolling waters of justice. And the Holy Spirit, we know, comes upon us and we are claimed as God's own in the waters of baptism. For thousands of years, God's people have proclaimed the glory of God's good creation, including the waters of the earth. God's creation, it is what belongs to God. It has been entrusted to us that all the earth might flourish. Throughout Scripture, God reminds us that we are only to use what we need for the day. Think about manna. If you don't know that story, go to Exodus and look it up this afternoon. Or you can do it right now. That's okay. So that all might have what they need. We pray for our daily bread, reminding ourselves for today. And yet, how we have wandered throughout the ages from God's intention for this good gift. Now, I have to admit, moving to New Mexico brings a different perspective to me on water than in the years I lived in the valley of the Ohio River with its lush, green, rolling hills, where we had dry spells, not droughts. Now, living in the high desert, I have come to appreciate the beauty of this part of the world, where the cactus blooms are vivid, the skies are blue, and clouds don't necessarily mean rain. I've also come to understand the need to be conscious of the water that is used and how it's used and how water is protected for the good of everyone. Now, I could overwhelm you with statistics about how much drinkable water there is in the world and how much we use as compared to the rest of the world and how far some people must walk daily to get access to clean water, if they have access at all. You may have heard a little bit of that in the children's time. And how much is spent in developed countries on bottled water and how much this has changed for us even in the past 20 years. And I could also share with you at length about the good work of ministries like Living Waters for the World and others who are committed to seeing that there is clean water accessible for all. But the truth is, we all know that situation. We all know it. We live in a part of the world where water is a valued part of our lives. We are concerned for the state of our rivers and access to clean water. We've also seen what happened when we're not good stewards, or when we don't take into account the needs of all creation, or even all people. We've seen communities in this very state without drinkable water, or even usable water for months at a time. Water has become an economic and political football, as will happen among people at any time, when anything necessary becomes scarce. And we could talk about the science of the environment. Or in Africa, the politics of the sub-Saharan governments, where one half of those without clean access to water live. And we could talk about the economics of irrigation or its use in hydroelectric power. Our conversation about water could go and does go on in many directions by innumerable people, all with different perspectives and agendas. But here, among us, first and foremost, we are a people of faith. We are God's children, a good part of God's good creation. And so for us, any conversation about the earth, about the waters or air or land, about the creation with its creatures that fly and crawl and leap, that conversation must start here in that first chapter of the book of Genesis, our book of beginnings. For it's here that we find our foundation for all that we believe and understand about the creation around it and our role in it. In the Etz Chaim, the lectionary and commentary of Hebrew texts for the Jewish people, which I read from this morning, we're told that the creation narrative is a document of faith. It expresses our fundamental belief that the universe is entirely the purposeful product of that one God, a transcendent being beyond nature and sovereign over space and time. Here we are told that God created the world, blessed it with the capacity to renew and replenish itself, and deemed it good. This is not a text of science or history or power or politics. And yet, it must inform how we view every discussion about how we live on this planet. But even as people of faith, our relationship with water is, well, if we were dating it, we would call it complicated. We need it to live. It is what brings forth abundance on the earth. And yet we can get mired in deep waters, fearful of drowning. Fire and water are symbols of God's testing and the trials of life. Raging waters are signs of God's power. And then, when faithful, we are like fruit-bearing trees planted by streams of water, as Bill read to you from the Psalm. It's really hard to know how we should be feeling about water that comes as gentle as the mountain stream, as well as the hurricane and tsunami. And despite this complicated relationship, we must come to the conversation about water as God's people. How do we rule over creation in such a way that all that God has created is cared for, sustained, renewed, replenished? That's fundamental to who we are. For we're reminded that we are the stuff, that we're made up of the stuff of creation. The elements, whatever, however you want to describe it, we are connected. That both God and earth were woven together to make us who we are as humans. And to care for the earth in any other way, one that might exploit or destroy or pollute, is to deny the very substance of our created selves. To care for God's creation is, in fact, to care for ourselves, if you need to have a self-orientation to that. Now, it's hard for people of faith to be this voice because the world out there wants to talk about ownership or power, usage rights, and industrial growth, which are not necessarily in and of themselves always bad things, by the way. It's seldom that the topic, though, is about God's good creation and our role as renewers instead of users. And it isn't just a good versus evil kind of thing either, okay? Because we're not always able as humans to know the long-term effects of any actions that we take. The moving forward is never simple or direct. The creation in Genesis seems so simple, but yet in that story there are no urban centers, no technology concerns or resources for power and fuel, and we won't always get it right because we're human. We don't fully understand this interrelated, complex planet upon which we live. Only God does. We can't always see how our actions may affect other parts of creation. And so we stumble and we make mistakes. Most times the choices we make will not be simple or clear. And we will give in to the temptation to serve ourselves at the expense of the environment or other creatures with whom we share this earth. It will happen. It does happen. It has happened. But it's all the more reason for us to take time and hear again the chapter in Genesis and remember whose we are and who created us and all that's around us, to be reminded that the earth of which we are part was meant to be a place of renewal and a place to be able to be replenished. Water is what saves those dying of thirst and those dying to sin. It washes us clean and brings justice and righteousness. It is the storms that rage around us and the still waters that restore our souls. It is what replenishes life and yet has all the power to destroy. It is the ordinary stuff of daily living, essential to us, and yet holy because it comes from God, created and blessed as good. We give thanks to the God of creation and the water that keeps it keeps our earth fresh and abundant. And may all creatures and all beings that share this earth with us enjoy the life-giving, clean, and clear water that we do. And may our lives always be faithful to God's call as part of the creation to care for the creation that was blessed by God as good. Amen. If you would stand as you're comfortable and join us in singing Touch the Earth Lightly, and you'll find that at the back of your bulletin. I have some prayer concerns that I will share, and then I will open our prayer and leave a time for you to silently or aloud offer your prayers to God, and then I will close us and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. The prayer concerns I have, the first comes from Lorna Van Dongen, whose sister-in-law in Montana passed away, and she's asking for prayers for her family, and certainly we include Lorna in those prayers as well. Also, I got a letter, or the church got a letter from Bill and Nancy Woods this week, actually from Bill Woods. Well, not everything has gone according to plan. Nancy's stroke, in fact, left her with difficulty in speaking. So she's currently in Lamy, New Mexico, with her daughter and receiving therapy, while Bill has been the designated one to go to Pittsburgh and find them a house, which they had not yet done. So we need to be in prayer for both Bill and Nancy as they, you know, this is not, nothing that they planned has happened the way they planned it. And, of course, being across the country from each other at this time has to be incredibly difficult for them. So please include them in your prayers beyond today. And then Audrey Maxson, who has been worshiping with us, is really struggling with gallbladder difficulties and will be anticipating surgery in May. So we want to include her in our prayers as well. Let us be in a spirit of prayer. How grateful we are, God of all creation, Lord of the earth. that you do indeed, in all your infinite nature, yet care for each one of us as though we were the only one. And so we know that as we entrust Lorna's sister-in-law to your eternal care, you have been with her throughout her life. And we ask that you continue to surround her family with your love, your comfort, and your hope. And we lift up to you Bill and Nancy. We grieve that they're far away from each other and that this has been such a difficult move for them. Sustain them with your presence. Encourage them with your hope. And surround them with your love, O God. And we pray for Audrey, who is suffering physically, but also waiting for that moment when the suffering will end. And we pray as she waits for that surgery. God, we do live in a world where your water is a hot commodity. It's not there for everyone. And if it is there, it may not be clean. And we ask, O God, that you continue to use us as your stewards to ensure that all of your creation has clean water to drink, to sustain their lives. We give you thanks, O God, for this church, for its ministries and its mission, and we continue to ask you to open our hearts and to lead us down the paths you choose for us, paths of ministry and mission, outreach, compassion, life-changing hope for those around us. For we do seek your will in every aspect of our lives. We pray for our world, O God, and for our nation, for its peoples, both young and old, for those who struggle each day with fear or hunger or disease, O God, the consequences of war. Continue, O God, to speak to us and lead us. And now in these moments, O God, we lift our prayers to you. Gather up all our prayers, O God, and then open us to hear and receive your response, that we might indeed be your faithful disciples. And now we pray as your Son and our Savior Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Each of us is given the gift of the good creation, land, air, and water. In gratitude for this amazing act of love, let us offer our thanks in the offering of our gifts to the Lord.
Yeah.
For the prayer of dedication. It is with humble and grateful hearts that we offer these gifts to you. May they reflect our commitment to be good stewards of all you have entrusted to us.
And all God's children say,
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Amen. Our sending song this morning is also in your bulletin at the back. This is My Father's World, which happens to be one of my childhood favorites. And the reason it's here, because it does appear in our hymnal. However, these original words by Maltby D. Babcock, who was a Presbyterian minister and actually a former pastor of the Schombach Church in New York, we wanted to have you have the original words. Not to mention, these are the words I grew up with, so.
Thank you.
was an old-timey hymn if we sang amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go into this beautiful creation that we have been given with joy and gratitude and a commitment to be a part of it, its renewal and its replenishment. May we go indeed, for we are blessed as God's people. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the infinite love of our God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest on each of you now and forever. Amen. Amen.